Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. 2,000 bands descended on Austin, Texas this year for the 23rd annual South by Southwest Music Festival. Rock, pop, indie, chillwave, rap, string band. If you could name it, you could hear it live. Here's Hit 'Em Up Style by the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
While he was bragging, I was coming down the hill, just dragging all his pictures and his clothes in my bagging. Threw everything out till there was just nothing left. And I paid all the bills about a month too late. It's a shame we have to play these games. The love we had just fades away, fades away.
This hour On Point, we'll sample the sound of this year's South by Southwest Music Festival. You can join the conversation. What do you hear? Were you there? Is this the sound of now? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Special thanks to KUT in Austin, Texas, for the audio behind us now of their live show at South by Southwest, here with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Joining us today from Atlanta, all recovered, we hope, from the festival, is Rachel Maddox, associate editor at Paste magazine. She was at South by Southwest for the third time this year. Rachel, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And from New York, Chris Weingarten is here. Music writer, contributor to Rolling Stone, Spin, The Village Voice. He tweet reviewed 100 shows in 4 days at the festival for Rolling Stone. He was on a panel in Austin on music journalism in the post-print era. His personal Twitter feed is 1,000 times yes. Chris Weingarten, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Tom. Great to be here.
That was some tune right behind us right there in the Hilton lobby last Thursday. Carolina Chocolate Drops, what, acoustic string band came together at the Black Banjo Gathering in 05. Second album, Genuine Negro Jig, just released to great acclaim this year. What's up with this group, Chris?
Oh, man, just a fantastic group. And they really, they do this old-timey string music from, like, these Appalachian traditions. And we're talking, like, you know, fiddle and jug and spoon and kazoo and all this stuff from, like, you know, the pre-Civil War era. And at South by Southwest, they just they played the Victorian Room at the Driscoll, this super elegant, red-curtained, you know, stained-glass window place. And just the juxtaposition of this, you know, dust-kicking, banjo music with this ornate Victorian room was just a wonderful use of space and just was absolutely 100% the highlight for me this year.
Rhiannon Giddens, who we heard as the lead singer there. Wow, what a voice. What a way.
No, you're telling me, yeah.
Rachel, paint us a picture here. It's not all stained glass windows and red curtains and the Victorian whatever room here. The Victorian room at South by Southwest. What's the scene? I mean, you've been there for the third time now. Chris has been there a bunch. A lot of us have not. We're all jealous. Give us the scene. 2,000 bands, 80 venues. What is that like?
Yeah, it's a really strange kind of range of venues. I think Chris probably got one of the nicer ones. I haven't actually been to the Driscoll, but it sounds super fancy. But most of them are just kind of clubs that are open throughout the year in Austin that, you know, during another week might have a bunch of, like, college co-eds, like Drinkin' High Life or something. But it's mostly centered around 6th Street, but then it spreads out all through the city. There's a lot of unofficial stuff, too. So just a lot of kind of dive bars, everything from like warehouses to, kind of more upscale restaurant coffee houses. There's also a lot of places that just open up during South by Southwest just for a couple days. And I guess during the rest of the year, they're kind of just sitting there empty. But yeah, there's a huge range. I think every available space.
Chris?
If you've been in the bathroom at Emo's, you know it's not all like the Victorian room.
Yeah, totally.
Not lately. Of course, Austin is a great music center in Texas and really for the country at this point. We're going to look at what's going on there, what it means for music, the music industry, for what, music enthusiasts, and also hear a lot of music this hour. Here's a tune, a group I think you liked, Rachel. This is When My Time Comes from Dawes. Dawes live at the Auditorium Shores last Saturday, California-based roots rock band. Influenced by the Laurel Canyon sound, kind of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, or Joni Mitchell. Let's listen.
And now it seems like think it lacks. Yes, you could stare into the abyss, but it's staring right back.
There's Dawes with When My Time Comes. And no, it's not studio quality. After all, this is South by Southwest. This is live. Rachel, what did you hear there? And where do they fall in the spectrum of bands and styles, genres you heard at South by Southwest?
Well, I didn't actually get to see them. I heard that song being played. They were playing at another venue at Club DeVille, and I was on my way to see them, and I heard that from down the block.
Oh, boy, I guess like, that's the way it works, right?
So I know. Bands. I knew it was the last song. I knew I wasn't going to get in, and I could hear the whole crowd singing along. And that, for me, was, I don't know, one of kind of a disappointment, but also kind of a perfect South by Southwest moment where you can just walk down the streets and hear everything that's going on around you and know that you're not going to get in because the crowd's too long.
What is the range? I mean, here there's kind of a Laurel Canyon sound. We heard the Carolina Chocolate Drops. They're, in a way, a sound of their own. But what, you've got pop and power pop and punk and chill wave, glo-fi, whatever that is. What's the range you heard there, Rachel?
I think I kind of maybe erred on the side of my own personal taste a little and maybe saw a lot more like maybe rootsier rock or folkier stuff, but I think there's probably everything. Like there's Spoon, and then I think Chris saw a lot of metal stuff, and there's rap, and I mean I think there's every there. It probably errs on the it probably favors more like rock, pop stuff, but I think there's pretty. It's a huge range of the kind of music that attracts at South by Southwest. It's really incredible.
Chris, what do you say? Is there a center of gravity stylistically here, or is it the whole range you get these days at the festival?
Well, you know, most of the stuff that brings the big crowds into South by, into the venues, that has the lines around the block, are indie rock and buzz band indie rock and hype indie rock. But South by is a really smart festival in that they have any sort of thing that you care to hear on the musical spectrum, you know? And you know, I saw 100 shows in 4 days, so I saw everything from doom metal bands to hip hop groups to just formless noise, you know. So it really does run the gamut, even if every single show isn't completely packed.
Let's hear a little more from. Well, this comes from the maybe heavy metal side of things, or a little bit at least. This is Lissy with Nothing Else Matters. It's a Metallica cover by the Illinois, well, I guess indie folk rocker here. Released her debut album Why You Runnin' in 2009. Lissy with Nothing Else Matters.
Never opened myself this way. Life is ours, we live it our way. All these words I don't just say, and nothing else matters. Trust I seek and I find in you.
Okay, so there's your indie folk rock cover of heavy metal, to get it exactly right, I guess. Rachel, Chris, did you hear it?
I was there.
I saw it. I'm sorry, I was there too.
Great. What do you think, Rachel?
Well, it was about as close as I got to seeing any metal that week, but I love her, and I love her voice, and hearing that song actually kind of gave me a new appreciation for James Hetfield's voice, seeing like that her voice was so great in the delivery.
You called it weirdly awesome.
Yeah.
And why not? Chris, what'd you think? Lissy.
Oh, I mean, it was great because, you know, she basically had some extra time in the set and was just like, well, let's do this thing we've been goofing around on tour a little bit. And, you know, she really pulled it off. And the thing with Lissy's records is that they really benefit from a lot of reverb. And she has this kind of, like, whiskey-soaked alien runaway type of vibe about her on record, which didn't carry live so much. But when she's live, you just get this kind of vulnerable folky element, and she really pulls it off. And you know, a Metallica song about long distance love on the road is perfect as a folk song too. You know, it's a universal concept for any touring musician.
Whiskey soaked alien runaway. There's the beauty when we get to South by, as you say. Suddenly we're off in all of that territory. And Jake Hatfield in the mouth of a folk rocker. Is she big? Is this a big draw at in Austin, Rachel?
I don't think she's huge. I mean, there were a lot of people when I saw her, and she played about a million shows, as so many bands tend to do when they go down there. But she just released an EP last year, and she's going to have her real, like, full-length album this year, I think. So I think she has the potential to become somebody that people know, and maybe next year there'll be bigger crowds that seek her out pretty specifically.
And Chris will talk about it, but does South by Southwest make people big these days? Is that where you get big?
You know, South by Southwest helps people who are on their way to getting big. You know, it's a chance for a band who lives in an odd part of town or an odd part of the country to play for a bunch of music industry slime who are all, you know, pouring into the town for the weekend. You know, so it's definitely a chance for people from other parts of the country to visit. You know, they come to the bands. The bands don't come to us, you know?
To try to get big, or maybe to get big again. Here's Courtney Love with Hole performing Malibu at South by West last week at the Dirty Dog in Austin. Big once, maybe it will be big again. Chris Weingarten is with us, and Rachel Maddox from Paste Magazine. Chris writes for Rolling Stone, Spin, The Village Voice. You may have seen his tweet. He did 100 tweet reviews at 1,000 times. Yes, you can join the conversation. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. What do you hear out of Austin? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Hello, hello, hello. Keep going. Okay. Yes. Check, check. One, two. Okay. How does that work for you? Is that good? Great.
Hey, hey, hey. Yeah.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the sound of South by Southwest and the music of the big Austin Festival that wrapped up, just last Sunday. There's a little sound check by Black Prairie right behind us, a side project of the Oregon indie rock band The Decemberists, who were in Austin, along with a whole lot of others. Chris Weingarten is with us this hour, a contributor to RollingStone.com, Spin, The Village Voice. He tweet-reviewed 100 shows in 4 days for Rolling Stone in Austin this year. Rachel Maddox is with us from Atlanta, Georgia. She's an associate editor at Paste Magazine at South By for her third time this year. I should say you can find a full playlist of all the music that we're playing this hour at our website, onpointradio.org, and you can join the conversation. Are you into the music festival scene? What do you make of this one? Is there a South by Southwest sound? Is it just the sound of what's hot now? And are you downloading Zola, Jesus, Neon Indian, Holly Miranda, Yellow Fever, Black Prairie? And what's working for you these days? Pop funk, rock, power pop, indie folk, chill wave, glo-fi? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Black Prairie, tell us about them, Rachel.
Well, as you said, they're kind of a side project of the Decemberists, who I love so much. It's three of the members, and then two other Portland musicians, Annalisa Tornfelt and John Newfield. And they do this really beautiful, and mostly instrumental, although there is a bit of singing, kind of. They're calling it like kind of an experimental bluegrass ambient. I think it's more traditional than that makes it sound, but it's a lot of dobro and violin and fiddle and accordion, and it kind of shifts from time and place. Like it feels very backwoodsy at one moment, and then like when the accordion kicks in, it kind of feels kind of like Eastern European-ish. But they were a really nice break for me, from like all the, you know, all the rock music can be kind of overwhelming at a certain point. And I just wanted to kind of sit and like not hear anyone's voice, just kind of hear some nice, it was very beautiful.
Well, you've definitely got me interested. Let's listen to a little bit. This was Black Prairie in the Galaxy Room last week. Sort of, here's some live instrumental. Thank you. Black Prairie out of Oregon in Austin last week. What a sound. Wow, that's really cool. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Sarah in Concord, Massachusetts. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. I found myself in Austin last week. I'm a 49-year-old suburban mother of three, and I was looking at the University of Texas with one of my kids.
Great.
I'm not really into music. She is hugely into music, listening particularly. It was so exciting to be there, but so disappointing to know that we weren't really going to see anything because we were there Monday. But she and I have promised each other that we will go back to Austin to South by Southwest because you could feel the enthusiasm and the excitement building. It was phenomenal.
It sounds like it got its hooks into you. You're going to head back and do it upright one day.
Yes, I am.
That's great, Sarah. That's great. Thanks very much. I mean, Chris, do you still feel it? You've been there plenty of times. Has it got that kind of magnetism?
You know, festival or no, like, people like to see bands. And,
no
you
kidding.
Know, people get excited about the chance to see a whole ton of bands in an atmosphere where they don't have to go to work the next day and can get drunk on cheap beers and get a belly full of brisket. So, you know, it's a natural excitement. It's like you know, it's like rock and roll summer camp almost.
Open the circus, open the carnival. What's not to love? We're at 800-423-8255. Damien in New York City. Damien, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Chris, I'm interested. There was an article in the New York Times by John Pareles on Sunday, and his sort of thesis was that it's, you know, South by Southwest, at least for him this year, sounded less underground due to, you know, there being scarce money out there and bands needing to have kind of a more mainstream commercial sound to attract corporate patrons. And I wonder if you found that to be true.
You know, I think that the underground actually was in huge effect at South By just for the exact reason that no one has money, you know, that that the youngest, hungriest bands are getting thrust onto this stage in a way that, you know, the people don't, you know, the bigger bands don't want to spend the money, you know, they can't afford for all the bigger bands to come out. So they just, the young, starving bands come out and play 10, 12, 13, 14 shows
wow.
in a weekend.
Wow.
You know, it's insane.
But there you had Courtney Love, we heard her earlier. What's she doing there? What are the big names doing there, Rachel?
Well, it's funny because, you know, Hole, you know, is definitely not as big of a name as, like, a Metallica or a Jane's Addiction that was
True.
There last year,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's, you know, I think the fact that people were so excited about a Hole show is you know, a really telling sign that our generation of indie rock and alternative rock stars don't have the rock star vibe like they did in the 90s. We don't get spectacles, we get artists.
What do you say,
you know,
Rachel? The star time is over? What, because of the way the economics of music have changed? Could that be?
I don't know. I feel like the music industry has changed so much in the past 10 years, like since Hole was big the first time, that, I don't know, it's almost like a kind of fragmented, there's not going to be as many big stars. There's going to be a lot of smaller kind of medium to small to medium ones. So, I mean, in 10 years, I don't know who the bands are that are going to be, like, kind of having their big re-debut at South by Southwest. It's kind of hard to say who's going to have that kind of, you know, that re-emergence and that, like, nostalgia factor that people are going to go nuts about. But, I think it is interesting every year you get these bands that kind of kind of choose this as their big stage to come back out on at South by, I think, because of the kind of the feeling of everything there being kind of new and exciting, and they want to kind of attach themselves to that, maybe.
We still got a little
South
of
By's,
Chris.
I was going to say South By is basically about two types of bands. It's about these giant-ish bands trying to make, you know, comebacks and statements, and, you know, people trying to latch on, you know, the littlest, newest, you know, next biggest thing, trying to, like, turn these baby bands into superstars, you know. And we miss a lot of the great legacy bands who've been putting out good records with, you know, for 10 years, you know, like Liars or Effed Up or Bun B or Dillinger Escape Plan or whatever, because they don't have the same type of news peg.
Let's hear a little more, and we'll talk more about the, what role this all plays in the biz, but really it's about the listening, too. This is we've got a track here from Free Energy at Fader Fort at South by Southwest last week. They play a kind of 70s-style power pop in the vein of Big Star. You know, Alex Chilton fronted Big Star. He died of a heart attack last week. The festival was dedicated to his memory. Here's Free Energy.
We're breaking out this time.
Free Energy at South by Southwest. Rachel, what the heck? Is there still a market for that?
Oh, I think so. We had them actually at one of the Pace parties, and it was pretty packed. It was fun. I mean, they come out and they're wearing like these bright colored, you know, wife beaters, and one of the guys has this huge mustache, and it definitely feels like kind of a little time machine.
Time machine, I'd say. Well, it sounds like a party, I guess, though a party maybe from the 70s. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and Tony. Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty well. What do you know?
Well, just a couple comments. I live here in Nashville, love to see live bands, and I go to the Bonnaroo Festival, which is a festival here that's a little more rural.
Yeah.
I went to the South by Southwest back in the late 80s, and to me, just the comment on it, it's just gotten so huge. It almost scares me to go back now because, you know, it's so multimedia. It encompasses everything. It's got such huge bands. Keep meaning to go back, but I'm just wondering how the thing compares. And back then it was so small and intimate sort of, but it was still sort of a festival thing.
Right.
I'm wondering what everybody thinks of the growth.
Well, look at it. Thanks, Tony. Chris, what do you say? It's gotten pretty big. I don't know where it ranks in festivals now, but is the intimacy still there?
I mean, parts can be intimate. You know, it's like, you know, when you sneak off and catch, you know, the band that no one else is seeing, it can be a beautiful, intimate, close experience. You know, if you go and see the hyped, you know, the big hyped band, like I guess this year was Real Estate, you know, you're waiting in line for 3 hours and you're squishing against people. And, you know, I guess it's a different type of intimate when you're shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of people with badges, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's definitely a lot bigger than some of the clubs can handle right now.
Rachel, do you go to other festivals, Bonnaroo or the others? And what about the relative scale of this one?
Yeah, well, earlier, I went to Bonnaroo a couple years ago for the first time, and earlier Chris said something about South by Southwest being like a rock and roll summer camp, and that was definitely more the vibe I got at Bonnaroo, because there's so many people that are literally camping, and you're outside. By Southwest is, I don't even know if there's like a perfect analogy for it. It's completely overwhelming. You could easily go and just wander around and not see any bands and just like sit out in the streets and watch people and like not even realize that you're not seeing bands just because there's so much other stuff going on.
I literally saw people just listening to bands on the street, just like hanging out and listening to bands just sitting outside. They didn't have a badge or anything.
Sometimes that's easier.
And doesn't sound too bad, actually. Michelle in West Hartford, Connecticut. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
I love all musical genres, and I've reintroduced my teenage sons to Sade, who was big for me back in the 80s.
And, sure.
And so they're introducing me to their music, and through the magic of YouTube, and I found they introduced me to this band called the Gorillaz, and their whole thing is just so different because they're using Japanese anime or some kind of animation to do the videos. I don't even know what the real band looks like. Their music is incredible. And I just want to say, is this something that's going to be happening during the future with bands just making their own stuff and putting it out there for people to enjoy it, and then you can download it, and then they can make their money that way instead of going through the big record companies. And then there's an avenue for them to play live at, you know,
at the festivals or wherever. That is a great question. Michelle, thanks. I mean, part of the question, I guess, Rachel, is with YouTube, you know, Michelle's kids are finding Gorillaz there and loving it and introducing her to it. I mean, do you need festivals anymore? With YouTube, everybody's climbing up.
Well, I think that the internet in general has kind of made South by Southwest kind of had to maybe change its game a little bit, because there's so much discovery happening just like in people's living rooms, like on their laptops. That's kind of serving the purpose of what maybe South by Southwest used to be. So mm-hmm. I think if it hasn't changed, I mean, I only started going a couple years ago when this kind of internet effect was happening more and more. So I don't know how it's going to pan out in the future, but yeah, I mean, I think that for a lot of people, the need to go out and go to something like this is diminished because they can get, you know, without the lines and without the expense, they can, you know, kind of sit at home and browse MySpace or whatever. But although, you know, it doesn't quite replace the experience of literally stumbling into a club and finding a band.
Nothing like being there. We'll hear more. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Here's Givers. This is with their piece Up, Up, Up. It's an indie pop group from Lafayette, Louisiana. This was live at the Galaxy Room last Wednesday.
For the glow show, yeah, we down here on the ground. Yeah, we up above love. Yeah, we up in the clouds. Yeah, we up. Yeah, we up. Yeah, we up. Yeah, we up.
There's Givers with Up, Up, Up at South by Southwest in Austin. We're at 800-423-8255. Let's go to Williamsburg, Virginia. And Dan, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to rain on your parade. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And says that I have to consider is the high watermark for music. You look at the songwriters and the musicians, the technicians, the Jimi Hendrixes, the Jimmy Pages, Santana. Where are they now? Where is someone who's comparable to anybody else? Eric Clapton. You know?
Where are they now, you say, Dan? Well, let's put it to our young critics. Rachel, how about it? There's the voice of the 60s and 70s saying, they had it, you don't. What do you say to that, Rachel?
Well, I think that I think everyone's going to more identify with the music that was coming up when they were in their formative years. So I'm not sure that you can objectively say that, you know, there's the best music ever was created in a certain period of time. But I think the atmosphere of just the music industry was so different then that it was easier for us to have these clear-cut big stars like Santana and Eric Clapton that we're just not going to have now. I think our entire culture is more atomized and it's just, I mean, there are people of equal talent, but I don't think they're going to reach that level of stardom just because the whole mechanism is completely different if it even exists anymore.
Chris, what do you say? Never mind stardom. What about musicianship? I don't know, creativity, performance. What about the comparison?
You know, our generation's Jimmy Pages and Santanas, you know, aren't making rock music. They're making rap music. They're making avant-garde music. They're making electronic music. They're making heavy metal. You know, they're doing so much. You know, we live in a time that we have so, you know, this postmodern time where we have so much that we can play with that every, you know, someone's Jimi Hendrix is playing a turntable.
Playing a turntable. Dan, they're not rolling over for your critique of this era, but everybody's got their time, and it sure was great then as well. We'll take your observation into account as we hear a lot more music in this hour. Chris Weingarten is with us from New York. He's a contributor to RollingStone.com. Spin, the Village Voice, was tweeting like crazy from South by Southwest in Austin last week. And Rachel Maddox is here from Paste Magazine. We'll go out with a group called The Middle East, an indie collective out of Queensland, Australia, performed live here at the Galaxy Room in Austin last week. This is Blood. You can join the conversation. What do you think? Does live performance matter less these days with YouTube and the web, or is it as important as ever? And what do you make of the music we're hearing today from Austin? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. There's Chuck Quibtown playing Rumble Sin Pelea, an Afro-Colombian group. They call their music Afro-Colombian hip-hop funk. This was at Momo's last week at the South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin, Texas. We're looking at the sound of that festival today, and you can hear just how diverse it is. Chris Weingarten is with us from New York, writes for RollingStone.com, Spin, and The Village Voice. Rachel Maddox is with us from Atlanta. She's with Paste Magazine, was at her third South by Southwest Festival this year. You can find a full playlist of all the music you're hearing this hour at our website, onpointradio.org, and you can join us. What do you think? What are the music we're hearing? Are you running to Austin next year, running the other way? What is the sound of now? Is it possible to define it? Doesn't sound like it this hour. It is all over. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Let's get a call from Ronnie in Boston. Ronnie, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well. What do you know?
Well, I went to Austin for the first time in my entire life. It was my first festival, even. And I went down with a band as their tour manager, Merch Girl, and it was the best experience ever.
What's a Merch Girl, Ronnie?
Oh, man, I just helped sell whatever they got.
Oh, all the stuff, the T-shirts, the hats, whatever they got.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I went down with this band called Girls, Guns, and Glory.
Oh, I love it.
From Boston, Mass.
I love it. Girls, Guns, and Glory. And how was the whole deal?
Yeah. They're great, man. And I was just listening to that caller from before who's talking about, well, what happened to Jimmy and what happened to Eric and all those guys. And it's the genre for Girls, Guns, and Glory is unlike any other. It brings back a lot of the roots and a lot of, like, you know, that old school rock meets roots meets, like, it's just a great melting pot of music. And there's no turntables, there's no, you know, Reason, there's no, like, Pro Tool kind of magic going on. It's all raw talent, and it's great.
I love it. Ronnie, tell us about the experience just of being there. It was your first time, so, you know, what was it like?
It was awesome. First day out, we got there, and we walked into this huge, like, tented party going on at this place. Oh, I want to call it, I can't even remember now. It was like Lisa Rosa or something like that.
Okay.
And it was the coolest, like, gathering of just musicians and just lovers of music, tons of food. If I can say, a lot of free beer, which was a huge perk of going. But, it was just one stage for tons of different artists from all ages. A lot of the guys that were up on that stage that were featured were, you know, well in their 50s. And that was just the first night. Every single day, morning, noon, night, the whole time was just filled with music. You couldn't walk down any part of Sixth Street without hearing a new kind of band or some sort of music coming from every doorway that you saw. It was such a great, great experience. And everyone there was just so involved and so excited to be there.
Right. That's terrific.
You couldn't find anybody that was not happy to be there.
And Ronnie, you put us right there, and we appreciate that. Tour manager and merch girl for Girls, Guns, and Glory. That's great. I wish we had a track of theirs, but I don't. But I love having your call. Thanks for it. Paul in New Haven, Connecticut. Paul, you're on.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is my second year at the festival. I have a son who plays in a band, and they've been out there twice. And I just have to tip my hat to the organizational people that get that thing going, because it's just incredible when you go out there and see how much goes on.
Big operation.
Nonstop. It's nonstop. And as far as the bands and the musicality and the musicianship, I mean, it's all still there. It's just, you know, who wants to hear what's been played in the 60s again? These are all, I mean, not all the bands, but there's plenty of really good, talented musicians out there that are, you just have to discover them.
Paul, we're glad for your call. Let's hear something that was not played in the 60s for a minute here. Chris, I'm reading about Chillwave and Glo-Fi, same thing, I guess, a couple of names for the same thing with groups like Neon Indian and Memory Tapes and Toro y Moi. What's Chillwave, Chris?
Chillwave is a newish sub-subgenre made by mostly kids of the 80s, and it's homebrewed, and it kind of bites a lot of the hooks of synth pop like Tears for Fears or OMD, but has this weird, nostalgic, tape-drenched, like, kind of smeared with gauze and Vaseline sound.
Ooh.
yeah, and, you know, it's really... South by Southwest was actually maybe more damaging to Chillwave than helpful to Chillwave.
Now, why is that?
Well, I think it was one of the first times that people are kind of realizing the Emperor's wearing no clothes with it. You know, that these are really, you know, we talked earlier about you know, the internet and finding bands. And this is a genre completely made possible by the internet. You know, it's completely, you know, hyped by blogs and websites trying to make this stuff popular, trying to be first. And then, you know, but they're all these young 20-something kids who can't put on a live show.
Let us listen and decide a little bit here, if we can, for people who don't. Here's Neon Indian. This is Chillwave or Glo-Fi, style. It's Should Have Taken Acid With You. Well, okay, Neon Indian. It's catchy, Rachel. Emperor's Got No Clothes. What do you say?
I don't know. I kind of had my own Emperor Has No Clothes moment at the festival with a Swedish band called JJ that surpassed any other awful live show I've ever seen. This actually sounds delightful by comparison. So I would have taken that over what I got.
Well, let's go to
JJ
Nate.
Also on the Chillwave spectrum.
Oh, JJ is
true.
Chillwave too. So it's kind of it sounds like music made on a computer practically.
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of laptops, a lot of pedals, you know, big pedal chains. You know, one of the vaguely Chillwave bands, Salem, actually got booed off stage at South by Southwest.
Oh, geez, watch out. Let's go to Nate in Charleston, South Carolina. Nate, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, this is it's really interesting because when I went to South by Southwest, I saw a lot of these Chillwave bands. I'm actually friends with the Tori Moi guy, and I have to say I had a lot of the same type of criticism about that genre. But at what my comments about social media and a lot of these bands that are hyped up and blogged about, at what point does the promotion take a backseat to the music? And I think we saw that with a lot of these bands that really couldn't put on a show as well as some of the more talked about bands like the XX or even a band like Mike Snow.
Now that is interesting. So many ways to promote a band now with social media and everything else. The hype can get ahead of the band. Chris, what do you say?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, it's these kids in their bedroom who are thrust on this national stage all of a sudden because everyone has the internet, and they haven't had the time to really practice and work at their craft and learn what it's like to be in front of 2,000 people. You know, I don't blame them for having a hard time at all.
Let's hear a little bit of Anais Mitchell. This was in Austin last week, live from the studios of NPR affiliate KUT during South by Southwest. Acoustic singer-songwriter out of Vermont. She's out this weekend with her new folk opera, Hadestown, based on the myth of Orpheus, set in a kind of post-apocalyptic American depression era. But here she is with Why We Build the Wall.
My children, why do we build the wall? Why do we build the wall? We build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
Anais Mitchell. Rachel, did you catch her? What do you hear there?
I did. I actually saw her do that, and I thought it was really great. Kind of maybe the opposite of Chillwave. On the album, that's a duet between her and Greg Brown, who's a folk singer from the Midwest. And
I love him, yeah.
The whole album is very, like, big and lush and, you know, very beautiful, and there's a lot going on. But when she played it live, it was just her singing both of the parts and just her guitar. So she kind of stripped it down to this very bare element. And I thought it was great. Like, I thought that it didn't suffer from these other voices not being there. It was It was all in her head, and I thought it was really impressive.
Let's go to Hank in Nashville. Hank, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and fight in the defense of live music. I think comparing YouTube and all those kind of things to maybe a replacement of live music, it'd be like saying that when the camera was invented, paintings became outmoded. You still have to have the real thing, and to really understand an art form, you need to be able to see it from different ways, and live music is just the best way.
I'm not going to argue with you for one second there, Hank. Who doesn't love it and wouldn't love it? Let me get another perspective right here. Woodstock, Connecticut. John. John, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks a lot. You guys are talking a lot about live performance, and I know that's what South by Southwest is about, but when I hear you putting down some of the chillwave bands, I think about a lot of my favorite recordings are by bands that, or artists that, for whatever reason, can't play out. And I'm thinking specifically about XTC and Andy Partridge and another band called East River Pipe, the people that, for whatever reason, can't play live. And so I guess...
Well, they can't play live. Why, John? Why can't they? I mean...
Well, Andy Partridge had a nervous breakdown many years ago on stage and has some real issues. And the guy in East River Pipe, whose name escapes me, also just has some real issues with playing in front of people.
Okay.
But they created some amazing recordings. And so I wonder if, in our current setting right now, where so much of this is about, if you're going to make money, it's not about your recordings, because those are given away for free, but it's about playing live. Like, where do these kind of artists fit in? And how can they have a career?
Well, it's a great question, and I guess these days they can, but we'll look at it. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I mean, Chris, there's so many ways to get out. It doesn't have to be live anymore. To our caller's point.
Well, I mean, I think that the hardest part about making money with music is making money with actual music. You know, it's slowly becoming that music is your. Is your brand, your philosophy, your dogma, and people subscribe to it by buying T-shirts or, going to see you live. And, the live show right now is, the way a lot of bands make money. Like, being a live band is really important economically right now. So, a lot of these bands really need to sort of get out there.
Yeah, I want to hear just as much as we can. Our time is growing short. Here's a little bit of... A group out of Dusseldorf in Germany, pianist and composer Volker Bertelmann, works with a prepared piano, clamps felt and leather and rubber bands between the springs. He's added ping pong balls and corks and guitar strings. It's Hauschka. Here's their Blue Bicycle. Chris Weingarten tweets on this for Rolling Stone, and he tweeted a lot. Gorgeous string plucks, transfixing rattles, stillness is the move, and we hear that. That's pretty great from Hauschka. And let me get another in here while we have the time. Whole different sound here from Liturgy. This is a black metal band from Brooklyn. From Liturgy, this is Ecstatic Right. We'll make a change right here. Liturgy with Ecstatic Right, and Chris, if I read your tweet right, it says here, show more awesome since the band was arrested, tried, and acquitted for possession of weed in Fort Worth this very afternoon. My goodness, that's live reporting, Chris.
Yeah, they got busted and then ended up playing a show that night, and the show was incredible. You know, you could definitely you know, they got hauled off to the Pokey and then got let out and then finished their trip and played a show. That's rock and roll.
That's rock and roll, baby. Rachel, are you a regular now? Is this permanently on your dance card, the date in Austin?
Oh, I guess so. As long as somebody wants to send me, I'll probably go.
That sounds like good times. And Krista, what about reviewing by Twitter, by tweet, 140 characters? Is it enough to do it? I see you've got all kinds of them here, of Kill the Client and Yellow Fever and Lissy and TV Ghost and Tobacco and Priestess. 102 lines, and you've got them down?
I think that people really could benefit from word counts. I feel that's one thing we've lost in the endless sprawl of the internet. And I feel that you can be very articulate and poetic in a tweet.
Well, you certainly are. All up and down here on TV Ghost, you say, a trash goth front spaz Tim Girk, lurching and freaking all over the icky floor of the appropriately Batcave-like beer garden. And with that, we are right there in Austin, Texas. It's been a lot of fun hearing this music and a lot of fun getting your perspectives on it. Chris Weingarten, joining us today from New York, contributor for Rolling Stone, Spin, and The Village Voice. His Twitter feed is 1,000 times yes. Chris, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Rachel Maddox, joining us today from Atlanta, Georgia, associate editor at Paste Magazine. Rachel, come back. It was fun having you.
Thanks, Tom. It's been great.
Listeners, you can find videos and links for the artists you've heard today at our website, onpointradio.org. I want to give a special thanks today to KUT in Austin, to Paste Magazine, and to NPR Music in Washington for live recordings from South by Southwest. You can find more of them at our website. Check it out. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll go out here with Viz Queen and Fight for Love. It's a